Wendell Quisenberry is here with us. He's our Tomahawk School District Administrator here for a Thursday morning conversation. Good morning, Wendell.
Good morning, Jeff.
All right. We were just talking about our lawns. It's something we have in common. People always get, you really love to mow your lawn. Yes, I love to mow my lawn. I was telling Kim Brixis on the radio yesterday, since I don't build anything, I don't know how to make anything. I sit here and press buttons on the radio. I can't stand back and look at what I do when I'm done with work. But, you know, when you're working out in the yard, you can stand back and say, you know what, I'm pretty good at this.
That's right. Yeah. Satisfying.
Yes, it very much so. You get the same feeling?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, just a relaxation time, if you ask me.
Yep.
Yeah, I love it too. And our season is coming to an end here.
Yeah, it is.
Just like the fall sports.
Then we get to plow and move snow. That's satisfying, too, sometimes.
No, it's not. It's terrible. I don't like it at all. Maybe when I was younger, but I'm at the point where I'm ready to... I can't wait to the day. My mom and dad, they got it made. The first sign of snow, if it's in the forecast, they are heading south ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to get to that point. I'll wait for the first snowfall. Maybe till Christmas time, then I'm out of here.
Yeah,
too.
Get through the holidays. I always said the same thing.
Let's talk fall sports because that's what's coming up here. And from what I understand, our fall football team, they've had great weather to play in all season long. That's for sure. Friday nights have been fantastic. But this Friday night, tomorrow night, may be a deluge out there. So
yeah.
The conditions will be a little bit different. But there's a lot on the line for our football team tomorrow night, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the start time has been moved up. So it's a 6 p.m. start to try to avoid some of the more, you know, brunt of the weather that we're getting. But it's a win, and you're having a pretty good shot of being in.
But it's not automatic, so we need some help.
Yeah, there'd be some tiebreakers and other things to sort out. But it looks like there's a pretty good shot at it.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's exciting.
And the eighth grade football team, boy, they're on a roll. They were undefeated last year, undefeated this year too, and so hopefully they can keep that momentum going as they get into high school.
Yep, that's a good group, and looking forward to seeing how that materializes as they grow through high school.
And I'm just hoping and praying that the coach is teaching those boys humility, because if you're not taught it early on, once you get to high school, you could be taught humility in another way that's not so much fun on the field. And so let's hope that they have that going for them, too.
Well, football's got a funny way of correcting that sometimes.
It sure does. A lot of life lessons playing the sport of football. How about rest of the sports teams here this fall? How are they all doing?
Well, you know, we are entering into the postseason in every one of our sports here. So volleyball will end its regular season on Friday. Regionals next week. We have a home regional on the 17th. Looking forward to that. You know, volleyball team is under new leadership, and you know, you're always growing through establishing a new program. So mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to seeing some really great things out of them. girls swim conference meet is coming up on October 20th in Antigo, and then the sectional will follow early November. So, you know, we always have some success there, and it looks like we'll have some girls that'll be really competitive with that too, and possibly making the trek to state. So excited to see how they do. And then cross country will be wrapping up this weekend in Mosinee, and then their sectionals on the 21st in Colby.
Okay.
So
good luck going forward to all of our student athletes that wear the Hatchet uniform with pride.
For sure, and they represent us well. We're very proud of them, and they work hard. I do want to mention and give a congratulations out to Bob Guru, longtime wrestling coach here in Tomahawk. If you've seen the article in the Leader, he was recently named to the Wisconsin Wrestling Hall of Fame. Super proud of him. He's such a great presence at our school, in the weight room, with our kids, and, you know, he is, we're very proud of him, very happy for him.
Yeah, quite an honor. Before we look forward, let's look back a week. How was homecoming last week? What are some of the highlights from homecoming last week?
Homecoming is, it's always such an exciting time, and, you know, the game obviously didn't turn out, the way they wanted to a couple weeks ago, but, you know, the kids rally around it. There's events going on every night. The school is a busy and happening place. It culminates with the parade. And, you know, if you were at the game, the thing that I love, one of the first years that we moved to Tomahawk, and I wasn't working at the school, my kids were all very little at the time, and we packed everybody up. We went to the homecoming football game. That was the first one, I think, that we went to. And we ended up having a park in the elementary parking lot on the front side of the school.
Because full house.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. And driving in there tonight to see, or, you know, a couple weeks ago, seeing, you know, how many vehicles are there and how many people come out to support you know, not just our football team, but all of our kids and athletes, and you know, coming back to Tomahawk and you know, our school and our district in general. So it was great to be there that night and to see how much support that they have and that we have. And, you know, it's a proud community, and it rallies around the school very well, and that makes me happy.
And all I have to do is go to any of the sporting events, go to the football field back there. Boy, that's a huge point of pride, too. Tomahawk has a lot of pride in our sports here, don't we?
It's a beautiful, yeah. Beautiful facility, and, you know, we always mention the thing that is, I think, a point to talk about with that is how many people open their pockets. That wasn't something that was an investment on behalf of the school. That was right. Something that our community and our area organizations opened their pocketbooks up and donated so that we had a good, you know, stadium back there and a point of pride for our community and the track as well. So, and it is. It turned out fantastic. And when you go in there and you see the signs of all the donors and everything else, you see how many people, you know, gave to make that a reality for our district and our community. So
lots of ways to show pride. Sports in a small town like this is right there at the top of the list. And so congratulations to all the student athletes, all the people that make it all possible. The Booster Club is a big deal here in Tomahawk as well. And so without all that support, it wouldn't be what it is.
Yep. And before we move away from activities as a whole too, I want to give a shout out for the one act play.
Okay.
She wrote, died, then wrote some more. There will be a public performance on November 18th, and then November 14th we will host starting the competition season for them. So
so it's an opera.
Come on out. Yeah, come on out and support our one-act play, our actors and actresses, and they do such a wonderful job under Michelle Balda's leadership. So
what was the title again?
She wrote, died, then wrote some more.
Yeah, like almost like an opera. Like in an opera, somebody usually gets killed one way or the other, and instead of dying, they sing.
Right.
Kind of the same kind of theme there. So that's coming up as well. So extracurricular activities being well attended by a lot of folks, too. There's usually a full house at all the events, right?
Yeah.
Good deal. Let's look forward now. District newsletter being sent to everybody residing in the district. Is that something new?
It is. Yeah, okay. It's something we haven't done before. One of the things that you know, we heard feedback-wise from right. our last referendum was we want more communication, more transparency. So this is the first time that we'll get that out. It comes a little bit later because we want our final numbers coming back from the state, which will happen this Friday.
Okay.
So we get preliminary numbers as far as state aid, and then we base our preliminary budget off of that in July and August, and then the annual meeting. But nothing is finalized until mid-October.
Okay.
So we wait for this time. We get the actual numbers, the actual budget. We know what the levy is. We'll be certifying that next week on Tuesday at an open board meeting if anybody's interested in being there. And so we can plug all of that in. So we'll have points of pride. We'll have general district information. We'll have some academic information. We'll have a lot of budget information in there for folks as well. So that will go out to every mailbox, not just families and people who have kids in school, but everybody who's a taxpayer in our community district-wide will be getting that probably early November by the time it gets out of the printers and gets sent out.
I think it was, if it wasn't the first conversation you and I had, Wendell, it was one of the very first. You said, you know what, it's the taxpayers' school, and we want them to use their school. They've been using it. Now this is the other end of your commitment here to keep everybody informed about exactly what's going on at school. Yep. Anybody that wants to know, you'll get all the numbers right there. How often will this newsletter come out?
This will be a once a year.
Once a year.
Yeah, we'll start out with a once a year. We'll put this one out, and then we may grow it and then have some other points in there. But this will be the one where I think a lot of the financial information, a number of the projects that we've completed over the past year, things like that will be included in this newsletter.
One of the things that determines state funding in our schools is enrollment numbers, and we're hearing not just in Tomahawk. In fact, when I heard Zach breaking down the school board meeting the other night, numbers are going down for a lot of different reasons for all over the state, not just here in Tomahawk. And one of the biggest reasons is people don't seem to be having as many babies as they used to.
Well, that's one thing. One of the reasons out there that I've read, you know, it's. It is. It's a statewide trend. We see it here. And, you know, but trending data, we're trending down slower than what we've seen this year. This is a big drop, you know, and it's kind of, I think of it as, you know, if you look at it in graph form, it's kind of that heartbeat, right? You're going to have years where last year we grew by a number of students. This year we dropped by a number of students. But that trend line is trending in the downward direction, which is something that will impact us with aid. And oftentimes, you know, you see a slight trend downwards that has a major impact on aid, but it's not enough of a drop in population that you can make big drastic changes within your district to compensate for.
Okay.
This is a school funding model issue, and it's something that you know, certainly isn't just felt by people in Tomahawk or by our district. It's across the state. And you know, I was encouraged to see that in this biennial budget there's taking steps in the right direction to address it, but there's a lot of work to be done there. And you know, this won't be a deal breaker for us by any means, as far as the budget and everything else goes, but it's certainly something that, that we look at, and the trend of it is concerning. So it's a point to mention. I talked about this at the board meeting. We are not seeing kids leave our district in droves to go homeschool or to go to a private school or to enter into virtual. Those numbers have stayed pretty static over the years. We see about the same fluctuation.
So that says people are satisfied with the education that they're getting here, that there are other reasons here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I would think for the most part, not just satisfied, but excited about in many cases. We have a lot of things to offer students that districts our size across the state don't. So we're pretty, and we're continuing to grow those. But where we're seeing the drop is the number of new enrollees coming in. So last year, what we saw was a higher numbered group of seniors graduate, a lower number group come in on the 4K side in the young grades. So that you know, impacts your district-wide numbers, probably the most significant impact. But beyond that, we did see you know, just less numbers throughout all the grade levels coming in than what we typically see. And this is a snapshot. So we're down 50 right now. We just picked up 3 new students a day or two ago. So these are very fluid numbers as the year goes on. But as far as aid goes, they're measured in these snapshots at different points. And Third Friday count is where these numbers are taken.
A couple things come to mind. Many people might be sitting here thinking right now, well, if we don't have as many kids in school, we don't need as much money. Why is that not necessarily the right way to look at this situation?
Yeah, you're spreading this over 12 grades.
Right.
So 50 kids over 12 grades, where do you make a reduction? Where do you start to look at that? It's only a couple of kids here and a couple of kids there across grade levels. So that's what I mean when we see it does impact our aid overall more significantly than what our individual grade levels see as far as reductions of kids. If we had 50 students in any particular grade level, you know, a drop, that would be an area where you could make a change. You know, to see this spread over 12 grades, it doesn't even get noticed until you look at the numbers and the aid coming in, and that's where it hurts.
Just a question. As somebody who's been in marketing and advertising most of my professional career, well, the next thing that comes to mind, well, if these numbers are going down, it's time to advertise. I'm curious about the relationship that you may have with our Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. They're out there spreading the word about Tomahawk in the off season, out all the shows and things like that. How close are you with the Chamber of Commerce? How much is the Chamber of Commerce selling our school district here when they're selling the rest of the community? Because when you don't have customers, you advertise.
Yeah.
We need to tell people across the state that if you're not happy where you're living, hey, come up here in Tomahawk and here's why, and at the top of that list should be our outstanding school system.
Yeah, yeah, and I think Sherry does a great job at the Chamber.
Good. Okay.
And definitely, there's partnerships you always look at growing, and every one of them we look at growing and becoming, you know, stronger in that area. But I would say they do a wonderful job. And, you know, the other piece of what you said there, too, this extends well beyond just, hey, come here and live. We all know that we have, you know, a housing issue here with affordable housing.
Right.
And one of the things that makes school districts so competitive is, you know, when you look at, if you're a family and you have, you know, young kids or kids that are in school at some point, one of the big things that you look at is what does the community school look like if you're going to move there. And when we talk about passing referendums and opportunities for students, student outcomes being so important, growing programs, even though we're seeing a decline right now, one of the biggest ways that we overcome that is making sure that we're competitive in what we offer our students here compared to our surrounding school districts.
Okay.
Because driving 20 miles to work, especially when it's very expensive to live in one community, is pretty enticing, especially when another community has more offerings right. or more opportunities for kids. So we have to stay on that cutting edge and be competitive and be looking for growth, even though we may be seeing some slight declines in the number of students we have right now.
Not a lot you can do about if we're just simply families are not having as many kids. There's not a lot that's in control of the school district or anybody else for that matter about that. That's just life as it is. And right. so, but that's where trends are important. You're looking at these trends now will get you prepared for 5-10 years down
Correct.
The line so that you're not caught shorthanded at that
Correct.
Time.
Yep. Good yep, deal. For sure.
Enrollment number. Well, we just talked about the numbers and how that impacts state aid. It'll be felt, but
we're okay.
Okay.
We're in good shape right now. And, you know, I do want to mention, and this is one of the things that we'll put out, our main goal is we finalize our budget and we put things out this year. We did see some increases in our low revenue limit, okay, which is it used to be $10,000 per kid is what factored into our levy. Now it's $11,000 per kid.
Okay.
But the thing with that's not the state giving us money. That's state giving us permission to tax our community more. Now, we're in the middle of a referendum. So our goal here, and this will be probably one of the first times ever, and I've said this before, but we'll be looking at not levying to the max this year because, one, we're in the middle of a referendum, and we want to keep things as even-keeled right. as possible, be very respectful of the folks that live in our community. A lot of folks in our community on fixed incomes, we mm-hmm. hear that a lot. So our goal this year is to make sure that our overall tax burden stays the same, stays consistent with what it was last year. That may fluctuate in mill rates because property values have increased and all these other things. So people may see what they're paying per thousand based on the value of their property change. But I encourage everybody, as you start to get your tax bills in the next month, month and a half, look at that total number that you're paying in comparison to last year. That's where we're focused on the overall tax burden.
I've been doing radio now for over 30 years, and the very first interview that I did with a school district representative talked about the same thing. The way we fund our schools is not ideal here in this state, and maybe someday somebody smart will come up with a better way to do it, and I guess we're still waiting. I actually had a thought about this. We're taxed at the federal level. Nobody pays the same level of taxes. It's based on your income, if you're doing it right and staying honest and stuff, and there are all the loopholes. We're not going to go there. Same thing in the state. Everybody's taxed a little differently. What about when it comes to funding our schools? What about if you're a person who you're reporting on your taxes that you have, you know, dependents and kids? What if there was a little bit extra for those people that are actually using the schools, and then when they retire, they get it dropped down because then you're on a fixed income. That way, everybody contributes to everybody's education, no matter how old you are. But then you get a break once your kids are done and you've paid for them and you were paying at a higher level. Has that ever been explored? Is that even feasible? Does this track at all to you?
Well, you know, that goes well beyond, you know, when you start to look at the state. I know there's more and more scrutiny given to school funding.
Okay.
And I would imagine with the vast majority of school districts in our state either currently in the middle of a referendum of some type or pursuing their next referendum question, that you're in a minority if you don't have to go to a referendum right. or if you're not thinking about a referendum. And I think that says a lot. That speaks volumes to where we're at. It seems right now there's more attention given to vouchers and other things, which kind of is hidden under that guise of a voucher being some sort of magical money that comes from the state. It's not. Your vouchers get thrown right into the tax levy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not separated out when people see it on school, you know, it says school district tax. Within that number are your voucher numbers. So those things, I think there's more transparency that people are looking at. How can we make sure people understand this a little better? So the whole thing has become a much broader topic across both the Assembly and the Senate, and I think you're going to see that grow because it's not just superintendents that are talking to legislatures now. It's everybody who's having to pay more in taxes to ensure that the kids in their community have the same opportunities as kids 15 minutes down the road. And
right.
the way the system was originally set up, when you had your current revenue limits put in place, it was very unequal.
Yeah.
So some people are spending $15,000 per kid because in 1993, that's what they were spending. And Tomahawk was maybe a little more conservative at that time,
right.
so you got locked into a lower
right.
number. And there's some pieces there that it's not an easy fix, and I'm not saying that it is. It's a very complicated fix because you don't want to put some of those other schools at a discrepancy. They've grown into the budgets that they've had for over the years. But it is definitely something that I think over time we can maybe inch our way towards a better solution.
So all those years of being conservative with the money and watching out for the taxpayers' dollars and only spending the money that you had, that ended up being a negative. Go figure, huh?
Yeah, it did for schools anyway.
Yeah,
many of
for
them
a lot
across
of schools.
The state. Yep.
Coffee with Q coming back this fall, huh?
Yeah. So okay. we're gonna meet at the Kinship House November 8th, 7:30. Talked with Patty Hilgendorf yesterday, and she's gonna open our doors for us to meet there. So I want to invite anybody who's got questions, whether it's tax questions, levy questions. We'll be I'll have the newsletter, hopefully we'll be hitting mailboxes about that time. So any questions on that or suggestions and different things you'd like to see, please feel free to stop out, have a cup of coffee or water or whatever you enjoy. And but I'd be happy to have some conversations that morning.
Good deal. Wendell Quisenberry, our school district administrator, thank you for breaking it down so even somebody with a simple mind like me can understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Appreciate that, Wendell.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you very
much. Appreciate the opportunity.